those that are here in the church and those on the live stream. If you turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 7. If you'll bear with me, we're going to read the whole chapter and then we'll commit this time to the Lord. Joshua chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labour thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Sheabrim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content to dwell on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies, until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by the households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites. And he brought the family of the Zarhites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought the household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to God, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burnt them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Father, we look now to your word, and it reveals who you are, and it reveals who we are. I pray that as you instruct us and teach us from your word, that you would help us to have hearts that are ready to receive it. Help us to be honest before you and before ourselves, and may you just do a work amongst us. Speak to us, speak to me. We need your word. Without you, Lord, we can do nothing, and by your word alone we are sustained. We pray for your help now for us to be focused, pay attention, and give us a hunger and a thirst for you now. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The title of what I know the Lord would have for me to speak tonight is Secret Sin in the Camp. Secret Sin in the Camp. I'm grateful for what the Lord has been doing in our congregation over the years. He's certainly given us many victories against Satan's attacks. He's helped us endure and stand for truth when it's been challenged. And he's continued to bless us as we seek to serve him. And I love my church family. And even just this afternoon with the giving of thanks to Nathan, it was so great to have all the family together. And I love the work that God is doing in each of our lives. And we're becoming a body that I see more and more is fitly framed together. But I must confess that in this gratitude and this joy that I have, there's that fear that comes upon me. Fear that it could all be taken away or destroyed because of sin and the complacency that we can have towards it. And this fear that I admit I have, it's only amplified by some recent scandals from these prominent Christian figures whose secret sins were exposed. Sin they had harbored for years, for decades, allowing it to go unconfessed. And it ended up destroying their ministry, their church, their families, their legacy, and most importantly, the testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's not just out there that it occurs. If we're not on guard, it will happen, and it can happen here. And the example of Achan, which we read tonight, it's a somber reminder of the dangers of secret sins. Sins that go unnoticed and undealt with until great harm is done. Tonight we're going to consider this example of Achan as a warning to us. Look at it under three headings, if you're taking notes. Secret sin. It's the first one. Sin's consequences, the second. And God's warning, the third. Secret sin. Secret sin. See, after crossing the Jordan River, the Israelites began their conquest of Canaan, coming out of Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness. It was the first time the land had been inhabited by Israel's descendants for over 400 years. And Jericho was to be the first city in this promised land to be destroyed, in accordance with God's instructions. It's laid out in Deuteronomy 20 and in a number of other places, but in Deuteronomy 20, 16 to 17, it says, But of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth, But thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. God was explicit in how to take Jericho. They walked around once every day for 6 days, and they walked around seven times on the seventh day. God was very explicit in what they were to do to take this city. And he was explicit in what they were to do once they captured it. The city was declared accursed, and everything therein was to be destroyed. If you look in Joshua 6, should just be a page or two over, verses 16 to 17, says, make sure I get this right. Yep, in the bottom part of chapter 16, sorry, verse 16, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. The city shall be accursed. See, God's instruction and warning to his people was clear. Don't take anything for yourself. Destroy it. In Joshua 6, 18 and 19, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. The silver, the gold, the other metals, they were for the Lord. Everything else was to be burnt, destroyed. However, there was one man amongst the Israelite army who failed to obey the commandment of God. Achan, the son of Carmi of the tribe of Judah, Joshua 7:1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. In the midst of going through the city of Jericho, destroying everything, something caught Achan's attention. He saw and desired, as he explains later on in verse 21, among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold about of 50 shekels weight. Unbeknown to anyone, Achan took these spoils, keeping what was meant to be destroyed, which was the garments, and taking what was meant to be God's, the silver and the gold. Achan's sin was conceived. And while returning to camp with all of his battle buddies, Achan, he walked very quietly and nervously. He knew what he'd done, and he didn't want anyone to find out about it. Upon arrival back at camp, he quickly digs a hole under his tent and buries his stolen goods. Later on, when Israel are defeated at the hands of this little town of Ai, Achan remains silent, though feeling this weight of guilt upon him. And even as lots are cast to find out the cause of the defeat, Achan keeps his sin secret, waiting to see what would happen, rather than coming forward and admitting his wrongdoing. See, though Achan's sin was hidden from man, God saw it all along. Job 34 says, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. God saw exactly what Achan had done. But soon Achan's sin was to be fully exposed to everyone, as the selection of tribes and families narrows in on him, he starts to realize he cannot keep his thievery a secret. And when pointed out, he admits his sin. We read that in verse 20 of Joshua 7. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done? Reflecting on what he took, standing there as the men laid in the ground in front of him and of Joshua, what he'd stolen, all the people of Israel seeing it, how gut-wrenched and ashamed and stupid Achan would have felt. I mean, what was he even going to do with this stuff? These stolen items, the garments, the gold and silver, it would have done him absolutely no good. He couldn't spend the money, otherwise people would have realized what he'd done. And he couldn't wear the clothes. It was pretty obvious they were Babylonian. See, what seemed like great value to him at the time was actually worthless. Buried in a hole in the ground, while guilt festered and boiled away in his heart. Yet, it was too late. The temptation which overcame Achan in this time of great victory and excitement as the Israelites came and took over Jericho, this temptation of Achan's was to bring forth death. James 1 says, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Achan's initial act of selfishness led to thievery, which then created the necessity to sin further so that he could keep his sin of thievery secret. Once Achan took what was accursed, he had to hide it and cover it up and start lying to those round about him. Failing to confess it, he couldn't stop until it was too late, until he was exposed by God and humiliated before the entire nation. Proverbs 28 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." See, though Achan's sin really wasn't of great material value, just one garment or so and a small amount of silver and gold, it was of deep spiritual seriousness. Disobedience to what God had strictly forbidden. Well, what are the consequences? Sin's consequences. This secret sin of Achan, it led to grave consequences, not just upon himself, but to those that he loved, as well as the whole nation of Israel. And Achan's sin, it exposed the true state of his heart, selfish, deceptive, a disobedient thief, irreverent to God, and inconsiderate to those around him. The consequences were swift and severe. Achan was stoned to death, burnt, and then covered in stones as a stark warning to the rest of the nation for disobeying God. I'm told of this in Joshua 7, it's 25 to 26. "And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burnt them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised a great heap of stones unto this day." Yet it wasn't just Achan who suffered as a result of his sin. Notice in verse 24 of chapter 7 that his entire household and possessions were destroyed with him. Verse 24, "And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor." There they were stoned, burnt, and heaped stones upon them. Furthermore, Achan's legacy, the name of Achan, was forever to be a stain and a warning to the future generations of Israel, still on record nearly 1,000 years later. In 1 Chronicles 2:7, There's a comment where it goes through the genealogy of Judah. It says, "And the sons of Carmi, Acher, the troubler of Israel, who transgressed in the thing accursed." Israel's severe response to Achan's sin, it demonstrated the gravity and the danger that it was to the whole camp. And before Israel were to continue their conquest of the land with God's help, they first had to clean up the mess that was within the camp. Joshua 7:13, the latter part of the verse. "There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from you, from among you." The nation of Israel, it decisively responded, not just because of Achan's great foolishness, but they responded in such a way because they were directly impacted. They suffered directly from it. See, the whole camp of Israel was accursed as a result of Achan's sin. Joshua 6:18 says, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it." Joshua is saying, don't take anything from Jericho. You'll be accursed as well as all of us. See, what should have been a simple victory against a much smaller city, Ai, turned into a humiliating defeat and unnecessary loss of life. The hearts of the people melted. 36 innocent men died. Wives lost their husbands. Children lost their fathers. And this defeat and death was a direct result of Achan's sin. Joshua 7:10-12. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you." See, when Achan first saw and coveted and took that spoil, he didn't mean for others to suffer as a result. He didn't go out intending for the whole nation to be defeated and discouraged. He didn't want others to die. He certainly didn't want to lose his family or even his own life. Achan did not realize all the consequences that would follow as a result of his sin. He just saw what he wanted, and he thought he could get away with it. Numbers 32. "But if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord." And this is the Lord speaking to Israel. "And be sure your sin will find you out." Be sure your sin will find you out. Years later, the pain and the sorrow that Achan brought remains scarred in Israel's memory. In Joshua 22, when the tribe of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned to their inheritance on the other side of the Jordan, an altar of remembrance is built, and it's mistaken for idolatry. And Phinehas the high priest, in confronting the action of these tribes, recalls Achan's trespass as an example of national consequence from one person's sin. Joshua 22, verse 20. "Did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the accursed thing? And wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel. And that man perished not alone in his iniquity." The trespass of Achan is a reminder of sin's consequences to the transgressor as well as to the innocent. as guilt, restlessness, broken relationships, regret, depression, failure, defeat, and even death. And sin's consequences are for all of eternity. If left unconfessed and unrepentant, failing to trust in the sacrifice of Christ, his death for our sin, sin will lead to eternal death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The payment for sin, the reward of sin is death. God's warning. See, what seemed like a small act of disobedience from one man resulted in great suffering, both for that man responsible, Achan, but the whole camp as well. This sin in the camp, it brought defeat and destruction, and it flashes as a warning to us today. And we too are incredibly vulnerable to hindering, or worse, destroying all the good work the Lord has done in our families and in our church through these secret sins. See, sin must be dealt with in the camp before experiencing victory without. Israel could not continue their expanse in the promised land and see victory until it was removed. When God wanted Israel to deal with the sin of Achan, he required everyone to prepare themselves. He says in verse 13 of chapter 7, "Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you." This sanctification process that was commanded, the people of Israel were to undergo purification activities. It involved washing themselves and avoiding anything that would make them unclean. And this process pictured the need to be right with God before approaching him, wrongdoings acknowledged and confessed. The process, it involved attention and diligence. The people going through it were so much more sensitive and careful of sin, things that would make them unclean. And it forced them to think about their sin and in a broken and a contrite heart come before God. And it's this attitude that we must have when confronted with our sin. Psalm 51, verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." See, God takes sin very, very seriously. And the people of Israel, in this account, took sin very seriously. And God's warning to us and to me is to not hold on to secret sins. God wants us to deal with sin, to acknowledge it, confess it, forsake it, and know the forgiveness that we have through Jesus Christ. Psalm 32, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Selah. The account of Achan and hiding his sin and its impact on others is God's warning to us today. In 1 Corinthians 10, we're told of all the experiences and all the accounts of Israel. These things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. See, Achan, he stole just one garment and a little bit of silver and gold, keeping it a secret. If only he knew how much damage it would bring to him, his family, and his people. So we must be careful not to treat sin casually, whether it's ignoring it, excusing it, justifying it, or in any other way convincing ourselves it's not that much, it's not big of a deal. Satan and our deceitful hearts, it will play down the significance. Thoughts such as, it's not really an addiction, I could stop it at any time. I'm only human, can't resist the natural urges. Just this one time, it won't matter. Or, I deserve it. Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it to the lust in the lusts thereof. Secret sins have their power by hiding in the dark. What sins are we hiding under our tent? What sins remain undealt with, hindering our families and our church? Colossians 3 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. There is a multitude of destructive secret sins that could exist today in our lives, that could exist in the lives of our families, and God forbid, even our church. Fornication and adultery, pornography, gambling, domestic violence, abuse, disobedience to authorities, covetousness and lust, idolatry, and dedicating our time and our lives to vain things, wicked imaginations, lying, stealing, hatred and bitterness in heart. The list could go on. Things that people could not even see, but things that we could very much be doing. Secret sin in our lives, it will not only destroy us, but it will impact others around us. And Achan's example is a caution to us of the dangers of hiding or holding on to sin. We need to be honest with God, with ourselves, and even with others. We need to be sanctified before the Lord, careful, sensitive to sin in our lives, in the lives of our family, and sensitive to sin in the church. Not ignoring it or excusing it, but rather admitting it, acknowledging it, confessing it, seeking the forgiveness God extends to all of us through Christ Jesus. It means forsaking it, even if it means getting help from other people. If there's sin under our tents, don't keep hiding it. It's damaging our life. It's damaging the lives of our families. It's damaging the body of Christ, our church family. And above all, it's damaging the testimony of Jesus Christ, the gospel. Proverbs 28, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart, he shall fall into mischief.